worship and serve a great God. Thank y'all so much for praying for Brooke and Davey and for us. And just a little bit of an update, which I don't think I was really hoping my phone would ring during church and I'd get to leave, but I'll tell you about that in a moment. But I love you, but you know, grandbaby on the way. Just update, some of you might not realize, but Brooke's been struggling with her blood pressure, been praying about her blood pressure for a good while now. It kept being up. So she got a call on Wednesday, really said, be at the hospital Thursday night at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, which was a blessing. She got to eat at both grandmas and headed to the hospital. But they induced labor on Friday morning. And some of you ladies have already told me you've been through this long journey. So they induced her on Friday morning, and she is still at the hospital trying to have the baby. And this morning, there has been a lot of change this morning. And I came home to get some rest. Grandpas need the rest, amen. So I came home past two nights, but I did lay in bed this morning. I get a text. I'm up at 5, get a text, you know, hey, things are progressing, you know. And so what do? We can't tell you what to do, you know. Brooke, how wants you to come on? I'm like, man. So I'm talking to God. You know, hey, I tell you, talk to God, right? And you know, God knows everything, but I believe the Word says we're supposed to tell Him what we think. So I'm going to tell you what I'm talking to God about. I'm saying, God, please help me. There's only about 1 hour a week that I'm kind of really committed to. I'm flexible every other hour to be and serve and go wherever you want me to. And he didn't say a thing to me. So I got up on faith. And y'all, now listen, this is family, right? I got up on faith to put my hospital clothes on, okay? My blue jeans and tennis shoes, my shirt. I'm ready to go. I'm going to get a phone call. I'm going to go, and y'all can have a time of praise and worship and prayer. Just awesome. Well, that didn't happen. So kept thinking. So I came in this morning. I said, hey, listen, you know, my phone rings, I'm gone. I'm going to give you the latest update, okay? I'll give it to you live. I got it like 11:05, and I'm going to give it to y'all as I got it. Now, the other day, I did get a picture in Sunday school of Sandra sleeping. She hadn't slept past two nights. I won't show that on the screen because I don't want to get in trouble with my wife. But at 11:05, Sandra says, all is good. The doctor will probably break her water at some point. You have plenty of time. Don't be stressed at all. And the second test is probably later tonight. So I give that as an update, but pray for Brooke. And some of you ladies know exactly what, that's a long time. And so she is, last night she was mentally and physically exhausted, but she did get an epidural a little while ago, so hopefully that's going to settle things out. So just pray. We don't know when it's going to be. Y'all keep asking me, but it doesn't look like I'm going to get my phone to ring. I did come in and somebody said, oh, that's good preacher. I'm going to call you during service. And y'all can go ahead and do that. And that'll be funny for you for a moment. And as I said, I told that person earlier today, I'll get more fun out of that, though, after you do it than y'all would get. So, and doesn't the church look beautiful? Man, doesn't the church look awesome? So thank everybody that had a hand. And yes, let's give them a hand. I know some of you helped get the stuff down Wednesday, some of you here Saturday, and so just thank you so much for all of that. And just a little bit about Christmas plans, and I wanted to go ahead and say this today. Didn't get a chance to talk to all of you, but I don't think anybody's going to be upset about this plan. But you know, it's one of those special times where Christmas is on Christmas Day, and that's just, I mean, makes the day even more special. And I also want to make it an opportunity where we can worship together. But also, I know that you have family plans and I have family plans. So here's what the plan's going to be. Work this out. And I hope this will be help everyone to accomplish all. But most importantly, putting Jesus first. Amen. But what we do is we're not going to have Sunday school on Christmas Day. We'll just have worship service. And what we do, let's move it to 10. So when you normally come to Sunday school at 10, let's come at 10. We'll have our worship service, and that should give you ample time to get to your lunch plans and maybe some extra time. So on Christmas Day, we won't have Sunday school. We'll come here at 10, okay, and have you out about 11 and on to celebrate Christmas. Get an amen with that. Does that sound good? Amen. So pray that God will bless that time and worship. And I want to get to that today, so I know you'll be making your family plans, and so we're excited about that. I know you brought your Bibles. If you didn't, there's one there in the pew. I want you to turn with me to Acts. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Acts 4, 23. God has been pouring some things in my heart the last few weeks. I'm not sure how to get them out, so I need for y'all to help pray for me. And God quickly led me to this passage. I thought I was going a different direction for this morning, But in Acts 4, in verse 23, before I begin reading, remember, Acts is the New Testament church. It's the acts. It's the things that were done in the Bible. As Jesus has ascended back, has left power, as the anointing of the Spirit's come, and people are sharing, people are being saved, lives are changing. That's the book of Acts. Acts 4:23, the Bible says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, 'Lo, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done, and by the name of thy holy child Jesus.'" Pay particular attention to verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all the things which he possessed was his own, but had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." That greatness that Scott just sang about. Dear God, we believe and we know that you are that great God. Lord, we are aware, Lord, that all power, all true power belongs to you, dear Heavenly Father. And that, Lord, that there's great grace, dear Heavenly Father, there's great grace that you bestowed upon each one of us, Lord. That unmerited favor that you've given us. And Lord, tonight, today, as we gather together, I thank you, Lord, for the time of thanksgiving we've had. I pray we'll have a thanksgiving spirit and heart, Lord, a humble, kind, thankful heart every day of the year. Lord, prepare us as we prepare to worship you not only today, but each day leading up to Christmas Day. And Lord, we give you our Christmas service. Lord, we give you our children's program with choir, our meal. All that we have planned, dear God, we give it to you. And we ask you, Lord, that you take control. And Lord, I pray on Christmas Day, Lord, that you might allow us to invite others to come, family members, friends, co-workers that don't know Jesus. And Lord, what an awesome Christmas Day it'd be to see many that we love accept the gift of Jesus Christ. So Lord, we give that time to you. We give our plans to you for everything that will happen between now and Christmas. And we want you to show up and show off. Be that great God to us as we humbly serve you, Lord. I know there's many needs in your house today. We pray for each one of those on our prayer list, those unspoken. And I do ask you and thank you to your God for your great grace for Brooke and David. Continue to be with them, Lord, to touch them. Be with Brooke. Just take care of her and the baby, Lord, and be with all that wait. And I thank you for a precious church family who has so loved on them and continues to and is praying. And Lord, we're anxious together, Lord, for the arrival of your new gift. Lord, it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'll give you the story when we see the prayer shaking the place. It's not been long ago. We looked at a message about just that power of God shaking. My mind goes back. I often say, and it's not, I believe, the fault of the church. It's not the fault of even necessarily the pastors or my parents or anything. But I'm just telling you, I grew up in the church setting. It may be the church setting that you grew up that during the service, as far as prayer, we had prayer, as we've already had this morning. We had prayer at different times, mostly always the same time before as we get here as an offering. And I remember, and vividly, I could just see it happening. You know, somebody would make themselves alone by themselves down to the altar at the end of the service in the invitation, and they'd be praying. And it's almost like you could sense in the room, you know, what's happened this, what's going on? What's wrong? And folks, prayer in the Bible, biblically speaking, what prayer shows us in the Bible is something that is full of that greatness and that power and that wonder, that it does shake things, it changes things, that it's a power and responsibility and an opportunity that God has given us like nothing else. I mean, there's nothing to be ascribed to prayer. But oftentimes it's pushed, as it was as I grew up in that place. I'll never, ever forget, though. I had a pastor, his name was Reese Riggins. He's going to be with the Lord. And he was a big man. He was a tall man and a large man and a powerful preacher. And he'd come to our church to be the interim pastor between pastors. And he was very bold as he preached, very bold in speaking things to you. And I remember he invited me. He said, I oftentimes go to a banquet, a gathering for the Gideon ministry. And I remember seeing Gideon Bibles in the hotels when I check in and different things. He said, come and go. And I got there, and I remember that during that message, Santa and I was there, and they were sharing, and I was just really gripped by the opportunity of what was going on. I was praying that for God's will in my life, wanting to grow in the Lord, and I thought, Jim, this would be an opportunity to do more for the Lord. And by the way, you can't ever outdo Him for what He's doing for you. You can't ever outgive Him. And I remember saying, going to get involved, and the guy stood up that day, and he talked about a number one Gideon and described things that they would do. And one of those things he mentioned was going to prayer breakfast on Saturday morning. And I've shared this, some of you heard this before, and it's so powerful in my mind. I remember thinking, Saturday's mine. Come on now. I work 5 days a week, and then Saturday's mine. God, I don't give you Sunday, and Saturday morning, I'm thinking, this ain't going to work out well with me. And then I started thinking like we all think. But he said number one Gideon did that. Well, I can join and be a part of the group, but I don't necessarily have to be an A number one. You know, those people are A number one, you know, in everything. Who wants to necessarily be in that group? But I think I'd give it a try. And I will never forget. We come in and we eat breakfast. And then all of a sudden, the food's taken away. We're in a private room. And all of a sudden, all the men started pushed away from the table. And they had pushed their chair. And they were getting down on their knees. And I'm thinking, whoa, what's going on? What in the world? What have I got? What am I doing here? What's something strange getting ready to happen? And it was strange to me. And one by one, starting over here, a man would begin to pray. We'd later get through praying and had a passage of scripture, and we'd read in the scripture, and then we went down to the jail to witness and share Jesus Christ. But that prayer, that experience with prayer, that powerful prayer began to set a hunger and desire into me that has been there forever since. And realizing that every step of the way, and I come to you this morning resharing that story and rethinking about the story myself and reading about the boldness and about the place being shaken and realizing that I really do desire for prayer to be more in my life than it's ever been before. Amen? To experience things that I've not experienced just because of my lack of obedience, my lack of willingness to invest the time in prayer, to experience what we see happening in the Bible. So I'd ask you the question this morning, where would you rate your prayer life? How would you describe your prayer life? Would you say this morning that your prayer life is a prayer life that is a biblical-based prayer life, that it patterns a lot of things that you're seeing in the Bible? Would you say that your prayer life is one that is growing, that you can really put your... I told someone I was going to leave my phone on, and that is my son. That has nothing to do with the baby or anything. Okay, all right, that's a danger, leaving your phone on. Good gracious alive, you know. Now I get it, okay. He said, I'm being like you. I'm taking lots of pictures for you, Daddy. Okay, all right, thank you, Hilton, okay. Lord, you feel like you're in the waiting room now? I kind of do. Good gracious alive. Lord help me. So I'm going to leave it on, though, because, hey, they told us that baby was coming on the 16th. They was wrong. So is your prayer life growing? I mean, honestly, can you sit here today and say, you know, I'm experiencing, and it's a simple thing. It doesn't matter whether it's work or school, church, hobbies, whatever. It all requires what? It requires two main things. Anything that you're going to put effort in, experience, requires what? It requires time and it requires money. And if somebody's saying, well, it don't take no money to pray. It don't call, well, yeah, let me help you out with that. Yeah, it will require some, because more time you spend praying and then being obedient to what God shows you in prayer and goes, it's going to cost you some money. Amen. It may take some of your work time. It may take some of your focus away. You may be praying and God may be, it may be costing you a whole bunch of money because God has taken it in your prayer time, showing you ways to go out and invest because of your prayer that's going on. So is your prayer life growing? Or do you, hey, maybe you're like me this morning, and hey, this is okay. In fact, this would be a great thing. Maybe you say you're like me. You've never really had an experience in your life. You may be visiting today and say, I've never really had this prayer testimony of a time when I began to understand what prayer was really about that I shared with you. Or maybe you're saying, you know, preacher, I hear you talk about prayer a lot of times, and because of my work schedule, because of my habits, whatever the reason it is, I don't make it down there on Wednesday night to that hour of prayer that y'all talk about. Not quite sure what's going on, but I'm glad y'all do it. Pray for me. I just don't understand it very well. But the question really becomes, where's our prayer life? And I'm telling you, I love prayer, passionate about prayer. We do devote a lot of time in prayer, and we do a lot of praying around here, special times and all the time. We have a Wednesday night devoted to prayer, but I come to you this morning saying that I really am desiring, God continues to press upon my heart, the need to understand prayer more, to experience prayer more, to find out what the greatness of that prayer is having available. Would anybody join me with that? Say, hey, how could my life be different? What would be different about my life if I was experiencing the type of prayer that we just read about? As you find here, go back to the beginning, really, verse 1 of chapter 3. Verse 1 of chapter 3, it paints a picture that we need to understand, really to begin to explain, to even answer our own question about our prayer life. When it says in chapter 3 and verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. They were going up at the hour of prayer. It was the time, that the prescribed time in the temple that they would go. The ninth hour would have been 3 o'clock. They began counting hour 1 at 6 a.m., so it's at 3 o'clock, and they're gathering up. And so for all of us, we say, well, that doesn't apply to us. That's the temple back then. But the interesting thing I find was you study the scripture and understanding about us that there was this hour, the focus here is this hour of prayer. Would anybody like to start right down here, and let's go around the room and just testify about times that you spent an hour in prayer, that you dedicated an hour of prayer to something and how God moved and what went on? I'm indicating by looking at some of your faces, you're not really excited about me starting down here, okay? They're more excited over there about me starting down here as they are down here, okay? This hour of prayer. And then later in Scripture, Jesus paints a picture of getting up early in the morning, a great while before it day, it says, to be in prayer. We find him finding a time in his life when he spent all night in prayer. Now, wouldn't y'all like to hear some of those testimonies? I'd love to hear some of those testimonies. We can begin to do that. Maybe there's some of you like to stand up and say, hey, let me testify to the church to begin our, if you would, a prayer revival, that I spent an entire night praying just as Jesus did. You know, Jesus, one we follow. Jesus, one we trust. Jesus, who I told the children is coming back again soon. Jesus, who answers prayer. I spent an entire night in prayer. And oh, you can't imagine how God showed up and what went on. Once again, I'm not gathering from your faces that y'all really, anybody's getting ready to volunteer to do that. So it was this hour of prayer. I think about, you know, if you would, this worship hour we have today is in a way an hour of prayer, of wanting to hear from God, amen, of the Sunday school hour and the preaching hour, the hour I mentioned of our house of prayer on Wednesday night. But folks, this hour, this time of the temple, when you look in chapter 3 and verse 1, it paints a picture, a description of what God is talking about as he says, when Jesus Christ came. As we receive Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of us. And what's the Bible say? We are the temple of God. So you're saying, well, preacher, I'm thankful that we don't live in the temple days. I don't have to take my time and break from work or rush from school or change to go at the hour of prayer to go to a temple and pray. when God is painting a picture that all of a sudden, hey, Jesus has made it more, made it easier, made it more powerful, made it more available. He's made prayer something that as he lives inside of us, that any hour can be an hour of prayer. I'll ask you another question. I probably got more questions today than I got answers, amen? Let me ask this question. What would it be like? Could you begin to imagine, you know one of my favorite verses is Ephesians 3:20. It says that God wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. You believe that, amen? That's what the Bible says. So how could that verse begin to play out? What could God begin to do if we would begin to think about times of prayer in our life? An hour of prayer. I mean, I'm not suggesting, if your prayer life is not to the point that you can experience that, I'm not really suggesting that you think, you know, hey, I'm just going to go full tilt. Forget the hour, preacher. You said, I got enough stuff going on in my life that I think the night's what I need, Jessica. I'm really not advising you tonight to begin and try to pray all night. You all right? Because I'm not so sure how far we get, amen? I'm not sure how far I'd get. I probably should have been praying the past two nights all night instead of coming home as I did and got in bed. Is everybody tracking with me here? You know, I mean, my little girl is suffering there in the hospital. It's for a great thing, but women, amen, it's rough, amen. She's one of them. I got some boys to get the women, amen, talk about pregnancy. And you know, it's amazing to me that what happens is she had one of those. There's some crazy stuff going on in the world, and they had a crazy person in the class, because this lady, she told Brooke, she said, "There's no pain in that room. There is no pain. There's no pain in pregnancy. It's just pressure. Just all pressure." My daughter, as far as I know, she's never drank or had took drugs. Okay, they gave her some pretty strong pain medicine last night, and she was loopy, Greg. She was looping. Y'all, now listen, I'm just going to tell you like I heard it. You know, some of you probably, she said, you know what? She said, I always thought them women who had babies without epidurals were tough women, strong women. And I wanted to be one of those women. Some of you may be those women, and I cast off to you. You know, my daughter, she's on drugs now. I don't think she said, they're crazy. They're just crazy. And that applies because as we prayed for, and I talk about prayers, we pray for Brooke's pregnancy, you know, here's what happens. We pray about things, and then we ourselves and others try to guide and take control of the prayers. Amen? Amen? Brooke kept telling us, now I want y'all to fully support me. I'm going to have this baby naturally, and I want y'all to support me and what I'm doing. And you know what I do when my children, if y'all tell me stuff like that, I just look at you and smile. Because Johnny Hunt said one time, if you haven't signed up for men's conference, y'all to sign up and go. He told us one time in preacher's school, he said, boys, he said, wisdom is getting old enough that you can enjoy what you think without saying it. Amen? Amen? Now, some of y'all haven't got that yet, okay? That's why you got trouble in your marriage. Just try it. But this hour, this time of prayer, In verse 23, I began to read to you, because what was happening at the beginning of chapter 4 is that the religious leaders were very upset. In fact, look at the beginning of chapter 4. It says, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, and grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, put them in the hold the next day for the eventide. What was happening, Peter and John were teaching people about Jesus Christ and about that he rose from the dead, that they were sharing about him, they were teaching, and it was making the religious leaders mad. I'm telling you what I promise you. You take the average church, you take the average Christian, you take your average friend who may, you know, pray for food, you may even think they pray more for you. I'll promise you this. Unless they're a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ that has learned and been trying to pattern their life after the prayer of the Bible, you begin to spend some time praying. You really begin to pray and invest some time, okay? Invest some of your time and money and pray. And you really begin to have the scriptures opened up, and God really begins to push on your heart and grab you by the heart and have you do something. You'll have people who you thought were religious that they'll just like the scribes and Pharisees. They'll start saying things like, well, you don't need to go getting fanatical like that. I woke up in the middle of the night. I couldn't go back to sleep. And I was burdened, and I knew that I needed God, and I needed answers. I needed something. And so I just got out of bed. And I began to pray, and I was praying the rest of the night, and God is pressing on my heart, and somebody will tell you, you need to sleep, you need to take some Ambien or something, you need a Z-Nyquil, whatever it is, you need some help, amen? Because what happens is, Peter and John were getting in touch with God, and people didn't like what was happening, and that's what happens in the world, amen? Yo, our world is crazy. And I say it again. I read an article this morning just called A Glimpse as I was at my desk studying. And Castro dying, okay? Yo, there are people, that the leaders of countries and people that are talking about him as if he was some great leader. Yo, he was a dictator that had countless people murdered and oppressed the people of the country for all their lives. And you've got still people that lived under that think it's okay. And you've got people in other countries like Canada, that are saying that he was, what's wrong with our world? What's wrong with our world is people aren't spending time listening to God. Because I'm telling you, I don't believe there's a single issue, single problem in your life, a single problem in this country, that some time with serious prayer, some time of some biblical-based prayer wouldn't so shake our own thinking. That's what Peter and John had come to understand. They had come to find out that, listen, as they went in verse 24, they were told, they were the religious leader, hey, you stop doing that. Laid hands on them, and what they immediately do, they go to their friends and the other disciples, and they tell, and listen, they don't go, and look at verse 24. It says in verse 23, they were let go, they went to their own company, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said. They just said, listen to what happened. And so then when they heard verse 20, they started praying. Don't miss this. Immediately, there was no discussion. They didn't have any discussion. They didn't sit around and talk. Well, I can't believe they said that. Well, they can't say that. We'll just go out there and take care of them. We don't care. There was no discussion. No discussion at all. You know what else you find in that? There was no opinions given. There was no solutions given. There was no decisions made. They simply came and they said, here's what just happened. And immediately they broke into prayer. Think about your home life. What would it be like that when you arrived in home to report something of your day, from school or from work or something good or bad that's happened, and you went in, and what do? We go in, and instead of immediately wanting to come together and continue to seek God's will and to really be what, but to be a fanatical prayer, we discuss it, we give our opinions, we get answers, and here's what we do. Well, we need to pray about that. You know, the question that we all start asking, well, when? It's like an afterthought, amen? We get on the phone. And I do the same thing. I've got a problem, and I call somebody up, and I say, this is going on. Well, we talk and talk. We have meetings around church here. We talk and talk. We discuss. We give opinions. Okay, and when we get done with all that, and basically have made up our mind, we pray about it. And be honest, here's how we do it sometimes here. Here's how we do it sometimes in my life. Depending on how long we met or what I've got to do, what's coming up, the shorter the prayer is. Y'all right? I've seen times where if God were to move to the beginning of a service and a few people come pray, it gets time to the end of the service, it's like, oh, we done that. Check it off. We done did that prayer thing, so we don't redo that prayer thing. They didn't know solutions. They had no decisions. I began to think about, man, with your children, husband and wives at work, that we had that attitude. Man, we need to pray. We got to pray about this and pray seriously about this. They, in verse 24, also what they did is use that word. It says in verse 24, it says they lifted their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which has made heaven and earth. So see, when something happened, anything happened, they immediately were going to pray about it. And they realized who they were talking to was who? They were talking to the maker. It said he made. It talks about in verse 24, he made the heaven and earth. He made everything. He made all of us. And so they're talking to the person who makes life. And so this morning I'm praying and I'm thinking, man, this is how spiritual I am. Like I said, I got up and put my clothes on and go to the hospital. I'm wanting to go, which I should have been wanting to come here and worship and pray and trust God to that. And I'm just wanting to be with my family, amen? And I realize more and more as I read this passage I'm preaching, thinking about, listen, the maker, the one who's making the baby, is the one who I need to come worship and be excited about and preach about and lift up, is far more important than the baby coming. Amen? The maker. They were talking to the maker, the person who knew it all. Everything we've got, all this church is made with, all that you work with at your work or all that you have at school and all we do, he made it. He made it. Listen, there's nothing that man has made that didn't come of a basic resource that God created. Amen? It's the old story, and I love it. I've told it before, but it so applies today. It's like, you know, these scientists got so smart that they went to God and said, God, we can create life in the laboratory, so we'd like to have a little, you know, competition with you, and we're going to make life, and God, you can create some life, and we're going to prove to you what we can do. And God says, okay, sounds good to me. And so the scientists walk over, leaving God, and they grab up a handful of dirt because they need some dirt to get started with, and God lets them say, throw that down, that's mine. That's mine. You can't use that. We can't do science or anybody. We can't do anything without the maker. So we're calling on the maker. In verse 25, they were calling on the Lord, the picture of the giver of the message they needed to hear. In verse 26 to 28, they were calling on the Lord because he was reminding them the reality of the people they were dealing with. It mentions about how they were gathered against the Lord and against Christ. So the key, listen, Satan is always gathering up against us, and the world's always against you as being a Christian. And the basic thing when you're calling out to God, you're calling out to a God who says, hey, I told you. I told you this is the way it'll be. I told you what's going to happen. Y'all, we stand in the need. And so my question more than the answer this morning is, what will it be like? And I'm not going to say if, I'm going to say what will it be like? If we truly begin in our families and in our church to pattern our prayer lives in a way that it really does shake. That's not just one message. Oh, yes, a good preacher. Prayer can really shake things up. That sounds good. Let's get on to something. Let's get on to Jesus being born, and let's get on to Christmas time. What will it be like? The saying has been said for years. It's yet to be seen what one person totally sold out to God could accomplish, that God could accomplish through them. And I think it applies to this. It's yet to be seen what can happen in your life and happen in my life if we access that power that's there. And folks, God's very simple and God's very practical. And so I'm looking at some of you, and I mean, you're great at school and you're great at your work, and you work hard. It's amazing the time that you invest and the resources you invest. It's amazing what happens. And all I'm asking you this morning is this: consider, what will your life be like when you start putting more time and more money into focusing on praying to God and finding his will for your life? I confess in closing this, I've told many times here about before entering into ministry, and I would pray. I drove to Charlotte every day to work. This time of year, I'm like many of y'all, I would get up and I'd leave home before daylight, and I'd get home after dark. Amen. And I was beginning to pray, and I had developed a prayer habit of praying in the morning on the way to work. And almost at the same spot, there were certain prayers. And I can take you right now on the road to my work, where I would literally on that stretch be praying every morning about God's will, because I did it early in my prayer. I said, God, I want your will. And I find myself at times in life, like it has been recently, not praying that as often and as fervently. And found myself more, and even, you know, in the last few days, all that's going on with Brooke, saying, Lord, just your will. Just your will. Lord, just your will. Would you bow with me? Lord, that would be our prayer as individuals in a church family this morning. Lord, just your will. Lord, and very specifically, Lord, your will as it relates to prayer. Lord, shake up our prayer life. Lord, we come before you wanting to devote more of our time and resources, Lord, to making prayer, Lord, be what it needs to be according to your will in our lives. Oh, my prayer for you this morning is, if you've never had that time and place in your life, or you really surrendered yourself and you turned to Jesus and you accepted that gift of Jesus, oh, I pray that you not leave here reminded once again, and oh, please join me and continue to pray for the families whose children were killed on the school bus there in Chattanooga, those that are injured. I've had several people remind me, you know, preacher, you talk about that often, and we know you really mean it, how short, how sudden life is, but it is so true. You could have a heart attack today. You'd be killed in a wreck on the way home, or a wreck later tonight, maybe as you're heading out to work, or tomorrow as you're heading out to work, or whenever you go. Oh, I beg of you, if you've never prayed to receive Christ as your Savior, would you come down and let me, Lord, connect, let me connect you with someone that through Scripture and prayer can show you how to open that gift. The Bible teaches us that the first prayer that God will ever hear from you is the prayer of salvation. That apart from Jesus Christ, He doesn't hear your prayers. Would you do that? How about it, Christian? Maybe you've never been to an altar before. Maybe that's the first step for you today. You just come to the old-fashioned altar and you kneel down before Him. Early this morning, I got in my study and I just knelt down, and we lit Wednesday night and talked about in Revelation 7 about how they fell on their face and worshiped God. And I spent a little time worshiping God there on my knees before I ever asked Him for anything for today. And there was many things to ask Him for, amen. Maybe you need to come and begin that journey in prayer. Wherever the need is, believing that He has a plan, He has an answer for you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jessica.